Hello and Happy New Year. Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. New year, new governor, new cabinet, new legislature. Let's talk about the New Year's Day inauguration of Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer and review lame duck, what did and did not clear former Governor Snyder's veto pen. We turn to Zach Gorchow from Gong News Service and Michigan Radio's Zoe Clark. Happy New Year, you two.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right, well, let us start out with that chilly swearing in on the steps of the state capitol. Here is our 49th governor calling for bipartisanship.
We might live in divisive times, but Michigan's problems are not partisan. Potholes are not political, or better skills, or great schools for our kids.
Zach, what stood out for you from Governor Whitmer's inaugural address?
I think the extent to which she's cognizant of how hard a time the Republican legislature gave former Governor Granholm in her first few years as governor. It really was a difficult situation for the new governor then. And I think she's trying to lay down a marker right now. Hey, I'm ready to reach out. We are going to work together. She's already doing meetings with the bipartisan legislative leadership. That she, you know, as someone who has served in the legislature, who was there during the Granholm era, I think she is going to do everything she can to legitimately reach out to the Republican leadership in the legislature, but also to make it clear to the public, hey, I may be the governor, but, you know, the other party is in charge of the legislature and it's going to take cooperation to get it done. I'm ready to cooperate. So, you know, wink, nod. If you start hearing about clashing in Lansing, you know, it's the other people.
Right. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Zach is just so right on. And also, I mean, she's been doing that since day one. The morning after she won, she held a press conference that basically was exactly that, continuing to extend this sort of olive branch. She also, throughout this crazy lame duck, really was not overly vocal, didn't do a lot of throwing lobs, whereas, you know, she could have, especially legislation that was, you know, talking about stripping power from her. So I think that she absolutely, and this goes back to what Zach said, because of her more than a decade in this, you know, Capitol building, knowing that this is sort of the table she has to set. Now, whether the table stays beautiful and folks live up to this bipartisan word is something completely different.
And that makes me wonder, as we all know, Republicans still in control of the state legislature. How likely are we to see this bipartisan cooperation and not legislative punching and counterpunching? I mean, are GOP leaders talking like they're open to this cooperation?
Well, I mean, we've got, two new leaders of both the state House and Senate. Now, they are both folks who have been in the House and the Senate for years, but we've got two new leaders. So we will see how they decide to work with this Democratic governor. And we will see the ability, the political ability that Governor Whitmer has. I mean, I think a lot of people will say, look, she is as politically experienced, more so than Jennifer Granholm was when she took office. Certainly more so than Rick Snyder. I mean, probably not the political experience since John Engler, at least knowing this town. And so we will see whether she can bend them to her will. But look, there are divisive issues. Road funding. I mean, just to name one. I mean, Republicans aren't going to raise taxes, you know, in these legislatures. So this is what we're going to be watching.
And we've got this whole new leadership team in place. Are there surprises for either of you in Governor Whitmer's cabinet picks? Zach, what do you think?
Well, I don't know about, I mean, maybe surprises. I think it was interesting that she chose someone with a clean energy background in Liesl Eichler-Clark for Department of Environmental Quality Director, as opposed to, say, a clean air or clean water person. Now, of course, she's going to create a new Department of Great Lakes and Freshwater. So maybe you get somebody from the more, you know, traditional environmental activist world that ends up running that department. You know, she made a very interesting decision on the new colonel of the Michigan State Police. There's a lot of folks out there who would say you got to bring in somebody, you know, from the outside, that there are some problems there that are, you know, it's a pretty long list of issues that have come up with the African-American community. She opted to pick an internal candidate who is white. You know, there hasn't been a tremendous amount of backlash yet, but there was a bit of a gamble there. I mean, you know, she even, you know, when I spoke to her about it, she said she did consider the idea of bringing in an outsider, but she felt ultimately it's the ideas that will matter more. And she needs somebody whose judgment she can trust and who knows the problems of the institution in a way that an outsider might not. So those were two, I think, that maybe were a bit of a surprise.
We're talking about the new year in Michigan politics with a new governor, new cabinet, new legislature with Zach Gorchow from Gongra News Service and Michigan Radio Zoe Clark. Let's get into what Governor Whitmer inherited from lame duck. Rick Snyder was certainly chained to his desk with plowing through hundreds of bills. Zoe, what do you think are the most significant vetoes from the former governor?
Well, I guess what I would put it in perspective is sort of right in the final sort of weeks, right, that there was so much attention on Michigan and Wisconsin, mm-hmm. right? And these sort of Republican lame duck power grabs, all of the headlines said. And, you know, unlike Scott Walker in Wisconsin, former Governor Snyder really vetoed some of the bills that, you know, he were criticized as GOP power grabs. So I thought that was interesting in sort of his final out the door decisions that he vetoed some of these. I think that there are some probably moderate Republicans, conservatives, maybe even in some regards. Conservative Democrats who would have liked to have seen this governor do some more of that over the 8 years when he was presented with bills. For example, the infamous sort of example, you know, right to work. And
yes.
It's not on my agenda, but deciding to sign it anyway.
What about you, Zach?
I mean, I think Zoe's right that there were two major issues. You could maybe even say two and a half that really antagonized the Democrats. One was the idea that the House, Michigan House or Michigan Senate, could intervene in court on anything involving a state law, widely seen as undercutting the authority of the new Democratic Attorney General, Dana Nessel. And then the bills that would have moved oversight of campaign finance away from the new Democratic Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, to a independent commission. And then there was also a bill that fiddled around a little bit with the redistricting commission proposal, mm-hmm. too. And none of those ended up becoming law. The proposal two piece and the Secretary of State piece never made it out of the Michigan House and died there. And then the governor vetoed the court intervention legislation. So, you know, it's interesting that Michigan really did end up on, you know, the national headlines as, you know, Republicans looking to, you know, kneecap incoming Democrats. But it did not turn out nearly the way it did in Wisconsin, because most of these things didn't become law.
Now the other side of the coin, though, what are the most important and impactful bills that Rick Snyder did sign?
Well, I think one of the real political ones, right, was changing the way that petition signatures can be gathered. And of course, after all the talk and headlines about proposals, particularly Proposal 2 and redistricting, that was interesting to watch. And also something that sort of went under the radar is a $1.2 billion supplemental spending bill that he signed.
That shifted some revenue away from the school fund.
Indeed.
What jumped out at you, Zach?
Yeah, those definitely were the two. And I should say, you know, that petition bill was definitely the third one that really antagonized the Democrats, because they're already gearing up for some petition initiatives in 2020. And this is going to make it a lot harder if it's not overturned in court. And there definitely will be a court challenge.
Yeah.
You know, the one that surprised me that he signed was the bill that says State Department directors cannot issue new regulations that are stricter than federal rules without clear and convincing evidence that it needs to be done. He had vetoed a similar bill a few years ago. A second attempt never made it out of the legislature because it was widely known he'd veto it. It definitely infringes upon executive authority. And even though they weakened it a little bit by giving the department directors this out with being able to demonstrate a clear and convincing need, it was surprising, and it does put the incoming Whitmer administration in an interesting spot because, you know, let's say they promulgate rules on PFAS or something like that. You know, what if someone out there goes to court and says you didn't demonstrate a clear and convincing need? I mean, there could be a lot of litigation, you know, even on some of the more mundane rules. This could be, you know, a full Employment Act for lawyers, depending on how this shakes out.
Final jump ball question. What will you each be watching for in these early days of the Whitmer administration?
Oh, I think absolutely the relationship of the quadrant, right? So these are the legislative leaders, both the majority and minority leaders, and the new governor, Gretchen Whitmer, and how they decide to kind of have their relationship gel in the early days will likely portend for their relationship over the next 2 and 4 years.
Zach?
I think it's to what extent or do they really dig in and try to cooperate, or to what extent do they start drawing lines in the sand? Do the Republicans in the legislature just start, you know, throwing bills at the governor's desk? You know, the governor said she supports repealing the pension tax and said it can be done without any offsetting revenue. Well, that bill would probably get unanimous support in the Senate and the House. They could have that on her desk by the end of the month and really put her in a jam on what she wants to do. Does Gretchen Whitmer, the new governor, Whitmer, does she start just firing out all kinds of executive orders, promulgating rules, doing things to show, hey, yeah, it may take some time to get things out of the legislature, but you know, the heck with them. I'm moving hard and fast on in other ways that I can do that.
Keeping an eye on Lansing in this new year. Michigan Radio's Zoe Clark and from Gongwer News Service, Zach Gorchow. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks.